Wow, that was good. Thank you, ladies. I'll be honest, I'm not a still and quiet individual. I'm not a meditator. Or I used to think I wasn't a meditator. Truth is, we all meditate on something. But we need to meditate on the law of the Lord. If you want to be blessed, blessed is the man. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Well, thank you for being in your place this morning. It's Thursday morning. I trust you got a little bit of rest, a little stuffy still, but I think I just want to thank you for your attention. You all have been just a super easy crowd to preach to, and I've enjoyed the preaching. I mean, last night my wagon got loaded. And I just love taking notes. I can't wait to steal these sermons that Pastor Carlson's been throwing our way. And being in the States and he in Canada, I think I can get by with it. I might give him a little credit, but change the letters on the outline and might be able to be safe on that. But thank you for the messages that you've preached. Appreciate it, Pastor. Thanks for allowing us to come. And I guess I'll say this. I'm glad to be with the Fairhaven group. We're not here to shove Fairhaven down your throat. Hopefully you haven't heard much about it except to pray for us, so please do. We're a small Bible college, about 80 students, been at it a little over 40 years, and we're just out trying to let people know who we are and maybe to pray about training for full-time Christian service, and we need more laborers in the vineyard for sure. I don't know Canada as well, but just about every week I get a phone call, hey, we need Christian school teachers, hey, we need a pastor, hey, we need a youth pastor, hey, we need this, hey, we need that, and I always say, I'll put you on my list without really any hope of having somebody to give to them in the next 6 months or so. We need more Bible colleges. I think we do. And but we're just trying to stick with the old-fashioned, Bible-believing way of doing things. You say, Eric, you're 47. I've been around it long enough to see the world and the tide is changing. And it's not just changing in the world, it's changing in our churches. So stay at music like that. That's good stuff. We don't need... I walked in, I saw a trap set up there. I'm like, oh, it's been 5 years. Pastor Friesen got it together now. But it's gone. I was disappointed. No, I wasn't disappointed. But things are changing, but we don't have to change. We can be just like our Heavenly Father. So if you have some questions, there is some music for sale in the back. I don't know the exchange rate, so I said this. You could probably rip us off and get away with it. We have no idea. So you can probably get things for $2. I'm like, oh, well, we get a good deal. That's up to you and between you and the Lord, I guess. All right, take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Acts 26. When you find that, turn to Matthew chapter 18. This was supposed to be the message for the teenagers at 4 o'clock. And I don't know, about point three last night in the message, God just kind of said, I think I want you to shift gears. I don't do good with gear shifting. But I had the thought, I believe it was the Spirit of God saying, switch the teen message to the adult slash teen slash kids message. And then I thought, we'll see what happens in the morning. And then this morning my alarm went off and I just laid there kind of going back and forth, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I? And God made it clear, this is what I want you to preach about. So I'm going to have to apologize early, because when you preach to teens, you usually have 1 point, no poem, and that's about all they can handle. So I went a little heavier. I have 2 points, no poem, so we should be safe. And we're going to get there, but I think it's not a tough message, but I think about 3 years ago, the Lord started teaching me the true meaning of what I'm going to talk about today. So I am hoping you that are younger than myself can get this. I'm hoping that you that are my age or beyond already have it, but if not, you start in this, because I think this is super, super important. Do we have anybody here that works construction? I've got a construction worker right there. How long have you been at it? too long, right? Since he was 15. I won't ask beyond that. We'll just say quite a while. We'll just leave it there. Since he was 15. So you understand how things have changed in the construction world, no doubt. Probably what you had back when I was a old-fashioned hammer. Now you got one of those pass loads. Life gets a whole lot better. We understand that. But let's go down to the kids for a minute. Zach, if you had the opportunity to have a dream home, what would be at least one feature that you'd say, it has to happen, I have to have this in my dream home? Indoor pool. All right, I like that. He's my thinking right there. Very good. Titus, you feeling better today? You feeling a little bit better today? What would you say if I had the chance to say, Dad, he says, we're going to build a home, and he says, you can have whatever you want in that home. What might it be? She said air conditioner. That's what I'm talking about. I'd say five. All right. He has no idea. Come on, man. Be a man. Be a man. Make it. Is it Sebastian? Tell me, what do you got? How old are you? He's 9, and he said a study. You need help. All right. Wow. All right, Heidi, what would it be if you had the chance to have that dream? One feature, just heated floors, all right? You're from Canada, for sure. All right, Haley. She's like a husband? No. That'll be next year, probably. A what? Newest and best car? Okay, we're talking about house, but I guess if you want your car in the house, that works too, all right? Tyler. A what? A home gym. All right, now we're getting to where the rubber meets the road. All right, some might say, I want this massive kitchen. Some might say, I want an in-home theater. Some might say, I got to have a spiral staircase. I don't know what it is, but what would you say when you built maybe the best home and you'd say, wow, this was the ultimate project. It had this, this, or that. What would you say? Kitchen. All right, so he's on the kitchen. Now, the home I live in has, I think, 22 rooms. It's a dorm, but I like to say that just to kind of get your attention. Right? It's a dormitory, so when I tell people that, wow, I'm like, yeah, we have 43 people in our home, we just kind of have fun with it. They think, you're rich. I'm like, not really. But we often like to think that, and so sometimes when I travel, especially when my kids were little, we'd drive through subdivisions. And Pastor, you have to confuse me. Sometimes I would do it in a covetous manner. We've got a pretty large, rich area in our area called Sand Creek. And when you drive through there, the houses are just absolutely gorgeous. So sometimes I'll take my kids and we'll just drive to, oh, look at that. They got 6 garages. And we're just there kind of coveting a little bit, sorry. My kids have pointed out different features, but they have yet to say, Dad, look at that house's foundation. Kind of like study. I would probably be a bit miffed if they kind of, I'd say, what's the feature that you're just enamored with for them to say, the foundation is unbelievable. But you and I understand, regardless of the size of the house, the cost of the house, it had better have a strong and sturdy foundation. And I think about it in my life, and I think about it after having been a Christian for 35 years, and after having been in the same church for 47 plus years, I, as a kid, would look up to staff members. I would look up to deacons and their families. I would look up to certain people, and I would say, man, they got it all together. When I get big, I want to have a soul-winning passion like that. I want to be a parent like that. I want to be able to sing like that. I want to walk with God like that. And as a kid, I watched. And then over a period of time, Pastor, I started to notice something began to dismantle. And so we often, as Christians, look at the features of families and the features of churches. And I've seen preachers come in and they'd preach, and I'd sit there in the audience. I'm like, wow, if I could just preach like them, they can exposit, they can exegete, they can have people in the palms of their hands, they can bring people to tears, they can bring people to laughing and having a good time. And I'd sit there and say, one day when I get older, I want to be able to preach
just like that. And then 5 or 10 years later, I'm like, where's Pastor so-and-so? And I'm not a gossiper and I'm not a critic. But when people tell me their lives have fallen apart, it causes me to say, what went wrong? Because somewhere at the foundation, somewhere where it's hidden and it's unseen, something was wrong. And I'd like to talk about that today. The year was 1996. I was almost 20. The place was at Navy Pier in Chicago, right on Lake Michigan. The people I was with, my girlfriend by the name of Rosanna Jo Johnson, we were not alone. We had these pesky things called chaperones everywhere. I looked. I would reach toward her hand, and all of a sudden, this 12-foot stick came out of nowhere. Whack! Not really. You're like, wow. By the way, let me just stop, because I think it's a good place to stop. When your parents are involved in your life and they're those pesky chaperones, be thankful. All right, that didn't go over so well. Here we go. I was there in Chicago. I was at Navy Pier, and on the main floor are all sorts of shops, ice cream, cotton candy, Garrett's popcorn, one of my favorites, and there's shops and so forth. And then you go up a flight of stairs, and there's this area called the Crystal Gardens. It's all kinds of pura everywhere, all over, foliage everywhere. And then they've got these little fountains, and they just kind of shoot up in the air, kind of intermittently up and down. And sometimes, though, as you're walking, the fountain will shoot over top of you, and it's kind of cool. But at that particular day, I wasn't really thinking about the foliage. I wasn't really thinking about the fountains, because I had three words that I was interested in saying. And my stomach was a little bit churning, because I didn't grow up in a home where my dad said, Eric, give me a big old hug and tell me I just love you, son. I didn't grow up that way. My mom wasn't really the type of person. She talked a lot, but she didn't really say, son, I love you. And so I'm here, my stomach's churning, and I kind of slipped away up there, and my wife, and we were just walking around, and this battle's kind of going on in my heart. It's kind of like, this guy's saying, do it. This guy's saying, don't do it. Do it. Don't do it. I'm like, how hard can it be to say three words with eight letters? And finally, like, all right, I'm taking the plunge. I'm going for it. And I closed my eyes, Brother Brandon, and I said, Rosanna, I just want you to know, I love you. Waiting for this slap across the face or this push into the Crystal Garden foliage. And after I kind of braced and opened my eyes, she had a big smile on her face. She didn't smack me. She didn't laugh at me. She actually responded and said those three words, eight letters, and yes! That was about 27 years ago. And I'll say this, that has become a pretty normal phrase in the Ramos household. I talked to Gideon yesterday. He's going to be 21 here. Hung up the phone, just said, love you, Dad. Titus, I talked to 2 days ago. Love you, Dad. Like, yeah, all is well in the Ramos household. Those are good words. I will say those are part of the foundation of a home. Two other words I think are important are the words thank you. We get thank you cards all the time. I buy them all the time. I work with our bus teenagers, I've mentioned to you. Every time we meet, they write a thank you card to somebody. You say, why do you have them write thank you cards? Because the Bible makes it clear, in everything give thanks, for this is
the will of God. I said, I'm trying to teach you what God's will is. And it's amazing. The first time we pulled out thank you cards, I said, we're going to write to your bus captain. We're going to write to a Sunday school teacher. We're going to write to your parents or your guardian. We're going to write to your bus driver. We're going to write to the bus mechanic. Some of them didn't know how to even write a thank you card. They're writing it on the outside of the card. They're writing it on the envelope. And my wife is reading the thank you card. She's like, are you sure you want to have these kids write to these people? They're going to look and say, wow, these kids can't spell. These are teenagers I'm talking about. I said, I absolutely do. Because they need to learn to be thankful. Those are good words. Those are pieces of the foundation of our lives. Please don't ask questions about this, if you would, but I would say about 3.5 years ago, and I just ask that you don't try to figure it out, but one of my children did some things that were not good. We'll just say it that way. And Brother Traver, it hurt. And there were some difficulties that we dealt with as parents. And it hurt. I stepped away from church for a while because I felt like I needed to as far as ministries were concerned. I just stepped into working a job. So I need to own some things in my home. Stop traveling for a bit. But I want to say this, Pastor. For a year and a half, I was bitter at my son. I was in church. I was doing my thing. I was playing the game. But Charles, I held it against him. You hurt me. You did me wrong. How could you do such a thing? And I was winning, or so I thought. I'll never forget sitting down, talking through some things. His son, through this, year and a half later maybe, what did you learn through all this? He said this, I'll never forget, it was like it was yesterday. I've learned that God is a God of forgiveness. And this hard heart was hoping that he would say, Dad, I realize how much I hurt you. And Dad, I realize how much I affected you. That's what I was hoping he would say. But when he just kind of dropped the bomb on me and says, I've learned that God is a God of forgiveness, it just kind of melted my heart and melted my soul. And I thought, if God can forgive, why can't I? And the Holy Spirit began to teach me the importance of forgiveness. So while I say, I love you ought to be a good part of our home, thank you ought to be a good part of a home, but may I suggest to you today, three words that ought to resound in our homes amongst husbands and wives, amongst parents and children, amongst different people in our homes and in our churches ought to be, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. I believe at the foundation of our faith is that wonderful word, forgiveness. I asked you to turn to Acts 26. I probably should. Paul stands before King Agrippa and he's giving his testimony and he says this, and I said, verse 15, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise. So Paul is telling about his conversion story, and Jesus says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. He says, this is what I'm calling you to do, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee. Listen close to verse number 18. The purpose of going to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to life, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Listen, may I remind you that the foundation of our faith rests in that word, forgiveness. And I am standing before you today, thankful that the Lord is teaching me the importance of those three words. I took a phone call about a year ago of a person I know pretty well. He's been in the ministry 25, 30 years. And he called me up and he says, "Eric, I've got something to tell you." He said, "I've been in the ministry for almost 30 years and my home and my marriage, excuse me, has been like living in hell." You wouldn't know it. Seems like they got it all together. And then the conversation began to proceed like this, Andrew. "Oh man, 3 years ago she did this, and 5 years ago she did that, and William, 7 years ago she did that, and they did this." And I'm sitting there listening to the conversation, and as the Holy Spirit's teaching me some things, Brother Neville, I'm beginning to think, it sounds like over these years there's a lot of things keep surfacing, and there hasn't been a whole lot of, here's the word, forgiveness. And then I talked to her, and he did this, and you don't know, over here he did this, and we were in this ministry, and he did that. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, it sounds like we have a problem. We're lacking in this area of forgiveness. I don't stand before you as the know-it-all because God is teaching me this. But friends, we must have in our hearts and in our homes lives that are willing to forgive. 7 times Jesus cried from the cross. You probably heard all those 7 things. But I can't get over, as Jesus hung there, they didn't even ask for forgiveness. And he said, "Father, forgive them." Stephen's sitting there on his knees being stoned, and those people were not standing around saying, "Hey, oh, sorry about that." No, he simply said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Keep them free of this charge." I stop and think, listen to me, when we're filled with ourself, we will not forgive. But when we're filled with the Spirit, we will forgive. You just can't help it. I think if we can sum up the beauty of our salvation, it's wrapped up in that word, forgiveness. Wives, have you ever been hurt by your husband? I think that's a foolish question. Husbands, have you ever been hurt by your wives? Children, have you ever been hurt by your parents? Listen, I'm yelling and screaming this too, because if you can get this, you're going to be way ahead of me. You got to learn, Zach. You got to learn to forgive. And I have no reason to preach this except the Holy Spirit shifted my gears and said, you know what, maybe the moms and dads and the grandmas and the grandpas and the families as a unit, it's family camp. Maybe our homes just need to well up with a resounding cry, "I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you." And that's healthy. Because sometimes we start to think, "Yeah, I've done no wrong. I am the evangelist, Eric Ramis. I serve at the Fairhaven Baptist Church. I have students that I work with, and I have bus kids that I work with, and they look to me as the icon of Christianity." You know what? I'm no different than those people that look the part, but that foundation, if it's not sure, it's going to crumble. The family's going to crumble. I need to be willing to forgive. Listen to this. Somebody said it this way. It's a little bit sappy, but I like it. Forgiveness is the perfume a flower puts off when it is stepped on. Let me say that again. Forgiveness is the perfume a flower puts off when it is stepped on. It comes from the word apo and hemi, that word forgiveness, and it's the idea to send something away. It gives the idea in a courtroom, case dismissed. So when you stand before the Lord and you're loaded with your sins, you stand before the Lord and you say, "But I got Jesus. He washed away my sins. When I put his robe of righteousness on, he puts my robe of sin on." Guess what? Jesus or God looks down and says, "You are," here's the word, "you're justified. Just as if you have never sinned." And he can say this about our sins. You know what? You can enter heaven, case dismissed. dismissed because all has been forgiven. I got a bunch of kids back here. Thank you. I thought I was going to buzz. You've got seven? Six. Do they ever fight? That was a dumb question. Do you ever argue with your brother? He's like, I don't want to answer this because I don't want to be at the altar. Some things are just obvious. But sometimes I wonder if my kids are just acting like their dad does to their mother. That's a jarring thought. To think maybe they're just doing what they see their daddy do or what their mommy do. And I'll tell you what, that's pretty convicting. I'm saying this, Brother Mark, and I just met you. I don't know your home. I don't know your family. I don't know anything about your church. I'll say this. If you can get it good. Let it settle deep in your heart. Learn to forgive. You say, well, they didn't come to me. It doesn't matter because we need to be willing to forgive. I can control what I do, but I can't control what they do. This is important. How do you, well, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 18. I think we know the text. I had a girl, she wrote me a letter, I don't know, a year or two ago. Brother Ramus, trust all is well, blah, blah, blah. Second paragraph, I just want to ask your forgiveness because for the last 3 years, I've been bitter at you. I'm like, oh. And there was no reason. And I'm sitting there thinking, all right, Lord, you're teaching me forgiveness. I forgive her. The next time I saw her, I went running up to her. She wasn't from our church. She was at work teaching in another school. She grew up in our church. And I said, what did I do? I just really want to know. I'm being serious. I just want to know, so hopefully I don't ever do it again. And she said, well, you told somebody to stay away from my brother because he was a bad influence. And I'm like, I probably did. I'm not going to lie. I said, I probably did. And it's probably true. But I'm sorry. She forgave. You can mend those fences. But for 3 years, I didn't even know. I'm just going through life like all is well. And I think, based on her testimony, every time she saw me, I am not going to advocate this movie, so I'm not going to give the name, but there's a movie years ago, and there was a working man by the name of Donald Sullivan. Everybody calls him Sully. He's about 60 years old and spent his whole life in the same town. When his parents died, he inherited their house. He never moved in. Instead, he left the house alone. It was the house where his father beat him as a child. So he just leaves the house to fall apart. And every day he drives by to watch it slowly fall apart. One day he takes one of his friends, a builder, through that broken down house. The builder says, Sully, you could have saved this place. You could have fixed it up a little bit, rented it out. You could have sold it and put the money in your own pocket. Instead, you stick it to your old man. What's it been, 30, 35 years? Are you still keeping score? Well, here's the good news. You won. Meanwhile, the house is falling apart. Is that not a picture of our homes today? I go into the old folks' homes, and I'm there to be a blessing to people, and I walk up and say, hey, we're going to have a service today. We'd love to invite you out. And Pastor Greg, this is what I get. You're like, whoa, excuse me for a living. Because what happened is they must have in their lives had this dysfunctional family where they couldn't get along. They might have had a heap load of money. They might have done some vacations, but somewhere there was a rift and it never gotten taken care of, and there's a lack of forgiveness. Now that person doesn't want to be with the parents, and the parents are sitting there basically dying off.
And we may be the only ones there to give them just an hour of love and a little bit of concern just for a moment. And I often think as I go into these places about every other week, I stop and think, I don't want to ever be there. And some of it hinges on this preacher. You can look and say, Brother Ramus, he just has it all together. Brother Ramus looks like he can preach and spit and scream and yell. Oh, that's all good, but I'm just standing before you today. I'm just learning, Caleb. I'm just learning the importance of forgiveness. God, help me.
Because I don't want to keep score and tell my kids, well, I won. Shame on me. Matthew 18. Then came Peter to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? We know the story, do we not? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times. Seven total, 490 times. I don't know if you've been sitting at a railroad crossing and your kids have sat in the back and they count the trains as they go past, or the cars, I should say. And it's kind of funny to listen when the kids are little and there's like three or four in the back and they're all counting. And when the train passes, they all come up with a different number. And I kind of think that's a good picture because sometimes we might start counting six, seven, but 490, we lose count. I run, in our gymnasium, we have an upper track. So when it's cold, I can go run on the track. It's 12 laps for a mile. And I always have a timer going. I like to time where I'm at so I can kind of just gauge my distances on a regular basis and see where I'm at. So, but even on 12 laps, I'm like, was that the 10th? Was that the 9th? If I need a good time, I think it was the 12th. So what I did is I bought a little counter. And I stick it on my finger, and I run with it in my hand, and every time I pass one of the main entrances, click, 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 click. When I'm feeling lazy, click, click. No, not really. But it helps me keep track. And Peter thinks that number of perfection of seven times of forgiveness to his brother, whether it be in the home or whether it be in the group of disciples or whether it be in the church. Can I say Jesus made it real clear? Seven is not enough. Just keep on, 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 keep on. I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. One day, what's your name, dear? Rebecca. How old are you, Rebecca?
11. One day, some knucklehead is going to be interested in Rebecca.
When she's 30, maybe? Okay, 40. We'll give her 40. So you got 29 years to worry about this. And he's going to kind of be in the proximity. Hello. How you doing? Good to see you. Love that Bible. All is well. So like, we'll call him Bob. Bob just shows up and shows up and shows up. And after a while, Becca's like, he seems like a pretty nice fella. He's got a nice Bible too, family-sized Bible. He must be spiritual. And as things progress and he does it right, does it the right way, and by the way, girls, there is a right way to do things. Keep mama and daddy and preacher involved and you'll be okay. Side note, another message. But he's going to come along sometime when she's 40. Hey, 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 I love you. Right, Emily? Just throwing it out there. And there's that going to be that fuzzy feeling. And that's a good thing if it's done right. But us old-timers and young-timers get married, and along the way, sad to say, us menfolk get in the flesh sometimes. It's Sometimes we don't always, let's just say that. Sometimes I don't always treat my wife the way that I should. Sometimes I say negative things. Sometimes I say hard things. Sometimes I just get in the flesh. And sometimes, to Gideon, Titus, Marissa, no amens, and Karis, sometimes I don't say things the right way, and I just think, you know, I'm the dad. I'm the head. No. I'm a person that's walking in the flesh. And it's not a bad thing for me to go and say, I really blew it. Could you forgive me? And you know what's awesome is when the response comes back, sure, Dad, sure, hon, I would forgive you. And it restores the relationship real quick. Amen. And if you read Matthew 18, do it on your own time. But it's a wonderful thing. A man gets forgiven a magnificent amount of money. Most people believe it's around $20 million. I can't even wrap my mind around it. So that's why I think it's called the magnitude of forgiveness. God forgives that way. Way too big, we can't comprehend. And then the same guy that's forgiven this magnificent amount goes out to a fellow servant, a fellow brother, grabs him by the throat and says the exact same thing. And I'm not going to take the time to read it. Squeezes him by the throat. The man that's on his knees begging for mercy says the exact same thing that the one that was forgiven had said. Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. But somewhere there was a disconnect. And then there's that verse 35, so likewise. I'm not going to develop that, but it says verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all the debt that was all that was due unto him. So likewise, just like that, it says, my heavenly Father should do also unto thee, if ye from your hearts forgive not, get this, everyone his brother their trespasses. I think God is emphasizing and understands that people in this life are going to get stepped on. In the ministry, you're going to get stepped on. In the ministry, I can just picture the wife watching her husband and watching the gossip filter through the church or filter in the area. And it's probably pretty challenging to deal with thinking, oh, but I know my husband. He's the perfect man. How could, it's just the way it is. And sad to say, in the Christian world, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And we sit back, we say, how can Christians even do such things? I told you about the young man that told me his life story. Can I give you just a little bit about his life story? As we're sitting in that urgent care there in Michigan, Grand Rapids, Wyoming, Michigan, he told me this. He says, Mr. Eric, Mr. Ramos, I hate my dad. I'm like, whoa. And me, on this side of the desk, I'm supposed to have all the answers. Like, no. If you're going to follow the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And I thought, that's going to be sufficient. He says, no. You don't understand. My dad was smoking marijuana, and he was drinking, and he got drunk, and he punched my pregnant mother in the stomach. And now my sister, her name is Miracle, now my little sister is handicapped. I hate my dad. I step back on this side of the desk now thinking, that's a pretty legitimate reason to hate your dad. Fair? Now what do you tell a kid? My wife has worked as the dorm mom. This is going to be her 16th year. And she has girls come to her and they tell her their stories of how they've been ill-used, how they've been mistreated by an uncle, by a father, by someone in their situation. And she sits back and her job is to try to encourage them and give them the right direction. But I tell you what, it's easy on this side of the desk to say, do this and step one and step number two. And that's all well and good. And we should use scriptures to do it. But I tell you what, they're living in that world. They have been stepped on. They have been hurt. They have been beat up. And it's easy for me to say forgive them, but I have to push them that direction, because here's our Lord and Savior that did absolutely nothing wrong. Was he not stepped on? But he could say, forgive, forgive, forgive. Forgiveness. Great word. Great concept. I think we all believe in it. We love it. I love to hear preaching on forgiveness. Right? Who's a dog lover? We have dog lovers in the house? I'm putting my hand down. I'm not.
There was a man who loved dogs. He served as speaker in different clubs to benefit dog associations. He was known far and wide as a dog lover. One day his neighbor observed as he poured a new sidewalk from his house out to the street. About the time he smoothed out the last square foot of cement, a large dog strayed across his sidewalk, leaving footprints right there in the wake. The man muttered something under his breath, probably not John 3:16, and smoothed out the footprints. He went inside to get some twine to string up around the sidewalk, only to discover when he came back, he saw dog tracks in two directions on his new sidewalk. He smoothed those out and put up the little twine fence. About 5 minutes later, he looked out and the footprints indicated that the dog had cleared the fence, landed on the sidewalk, and proceeded on as he desired. The man was a little bit upset. Now, he troweled the wet concrete smooth again. As he got back to the porch, he saw the same dog come over and sit right in the middle of his sidewalk. He went inside, got his gun, he wasn't in Canada, got his gun, and came out and point blank, boom, shot the dog dead. The neighbor rushed over, "What in the world are you doing? Why did you do that? I thought you loved dogs." The man responded as he cradled his gun in the crook of his arm, I do like dogs. In the abstract, not in the concrete." And I say, doggone it. I'm done. But I think it's the same way for us. We can preach about it. It's out there. But it's going to maybe come to home, to roost in your life. And we must. I forgive you. It's a big guy right there. I'm going to be nice to you. Abby, I'm going to forgive him real fast because he might beat me up. Abby's a little smaller, so I think I'll be okay. I can last a little. No, we kind of have these judgment calls. No. If we confess our sins, watch me. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm done. But about 8.5 weeks, Michael and Emily are going to get married. Amen! September the 9th, 2023, a day that will live in infamy. Oh, that's something else. And right now, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. But maybe by September 11th, 9/11, there may be a moment that they have to look over and say, I'll forgive you. This needs to be part of our vocabulary in our homes. I am sad to say, I'm not the prime example, but I'm glad God's merciful and gracious and full of compassion to say, I need to teach you this, and it's not fun, it's not hard, because, they hurt me. It doesn't matter if they hurt me. If God can forgive, ought not I be willing and ready to forgive? Amen. Young people, get it. Get it. I really like your parents. Now you say, you don't know them that well. I don't. It doesn't matter. They will step on you, whether on purpose or not. That's not your business. You have to be willing to say, no problem, Dad. No problem, Mom. And mend that relationship. This is big. Some of you might need to go home and talk to your pastor, or if they're here, you need to run to them and say, I'm so sorry, Pastor. I've been holding this bitterness in way too long. I don't think on purpose he's going to hurt anybody, step on it. They've been at it a long time, but guess what? We struggle. Little kids, some of you may need to run to your mommy and your daddy. I don't know these guys that well. I just see them at camp. You probably mess up sometimes. It's okay. You will too as a parent. You need to run to Mom and Dad and just give them a hug and say, I'm sorry, I've done wrong. I got a hunch they'll forgive, and I got a hunch you can forgive. It needs to be part of our Christian homes.
And when our homes are right, our churches will be right. Amen. God bless us.